Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends all around the world. May I ask you an important but personal question? Who are some of the people in your life who have encouraged you along the way, especially when you have been going through hard times? And today, June 2021, who are those you know you can count on to encourage you when you need it? And what about this? Who are those who strengthen you in your journey of life? There's a difference between encourage and strengthen, isn't there? And finally this, who are the people who encourage you to remain true to your faith in God? I ask these questions because of this statement, which we looked at yesterday, Acts 14:21 and 22. They, that's Paul and Barnabas, returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch, strengthening the disciples, that's followers of Jesus, and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Now, I urge you to remember that in all three of those places, Paul and Barnabas were initially well-received, and many people responded to their sharing of the gospel by trusting in Jesus for their salvation from their sin condemnation and becoming committed followers of Jesus. That's why they are referred to as disciples. But also, in each of these towns, some people rejected Paul's preaching. They rejected Jesus and the gospel of Jesus so vehemently that they ran Paul out of their town. So we can assume the followers of Jesus in these towns lived with some persecution. That explains why Luke records this statement from Paul to those followers of Jesus. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. Now, let's be careful how we understand this statement. Paul is not saying that the only way into heaven in God's kingdom is through persecution and suffering. Paul is saying that very often, life for those who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ will involve some pain because, as we live honorable, holy lives in obedience to the teachings of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves living counterculture to the society all around us, no matter where we live in this world. The result of that will be friction and maybe outright persecution. Remember, Jesus warned his disciples about this in the upper room the evening before he was tortured and crucified. You'll find that in John 15, verse 18 to chapter 16, verse 4. I'm encouraged to see that Paul and Barnabas did more than simply encourage with words. These followers of Jesus were living in difficult times in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Luke says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Acts 14:23. The word elders here does not mean old people. It means spiritually mature men who could carry on the work of strengthening and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. This became a hallmark of Paul's pattern of church planting, which he carried on for the rest of his life throughout the Roman Empire. Paul brought the gospel of Jesus to places Jesus was not known. As people responded, Paul taught them the truths of Jesus. As he prepared to move on to another place, Paul then identified those who seemed most hungry to learn and had Holy Spirit gifting and capacity for leadership and teaching, and then Paul appointed them elders or overseers of these groups of Christ followers. Years later, Paul wrote to both Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 and 2, important instructions about continuing this pattern and wisely selecting these men in the churches they were planting and leading. This is a vitally important truth, my friends. In every generation, but perhaps especially in our day, as opposition is growing exponentially all around the world to God, God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, and the people of Jesus' church, it is vital such qualified men assume roles of leadership, encouraging, strengthening, and teaching followers of Jesus in their towns. May I ask, are you qualified to be one of those types of elders? Do you see their importance in every morally drifting society in our world? From Pisidian Antioch, it appears Paul and Barnabas continued retracing their steps back through the region of Pisidia and Pamphylia, then to Perga, where John Mark had left them in the early days of this long missionary journey, and then to Attalia on the southern coast of modern-day Turkey. From there, Paul and Barnabas boarded a sailing ship bound for the region of Syrian Antioch, where this journey had begun many months before. I've included a map to help you see this remarkable journey. Remember, my friends, no modern transportation or communication. This entire journey was very much like the disciples had lived each day, walking with Jesus, only on this journey, Jesus was not physically present. On this journey, Paul and Barnabas were daily, hourly, following the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Now think about that. No master plan of hotels and restaurants and friends and meetings along the way. Every day, every logistical decision, they asked the Holy Spirit what to do next. Can you imagine living like that, my friends, today? Yes, that is God's desire for you and me also. Holy Spirit led in all aspects of our lives, everything, every day. Luke then closes his report on this remarkable journey with this. From Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Acts 14:26. Even with favorable winds, that trip would have taken several days. Can you imagine the conversations as they stood on deck looking out over the waves? Paul, when I came to Tarsus to find you and invited you to join with me in teaching the new Christians in Antioch, I would have never, never imagined it would lead to this. Oh my, how will we ever explain what we have experienced with Jesus since we left Antioch to begin this adventure? Barnabas, my friend, as I sat in my tent-making shelter in Tarsus, wondering if I'd ever have a chance to use all that Jesus had been teaching me, ever have a chance to proclaim the wonder of Jesus rather than trying to persecute his followers, I too never imagined a trip such as we've had together. It will be wonderful to again be back with friends in Antioch, and yes, as we have these days on this ship, I'm praying the Holy Spirit will give us the words which we can both use to explain what we've seen and experienced. I wonder if they had long times of silence on the deck of that ship talking with God, trying to put it all into perspective, Jesus's perspective. And I wonder about one more conversation. Might it have gone something like this? Barnabas, my friend, I've been thinking, what if this remarkable trip was just the beginning? Jesus had said, when he confronted me on the road to Damascus, that I was to be his chosen instrument to take his name before Gentiles and their kings. Could it be, Barnabas, that this is Jesus' plan for the rest of my life? That I will never settle down and get married and have a family and build one church in one place, but rather, this trip is a picture of what Jesus wants me to do for the rest of my life. Led by his Holy Spirit, going over that horizon to places where Jesus is unknown. Years later, Paul wrote this to the Christians in Rome. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel of Jesus where he is not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Romans 15:20. As I draw this to a close today, as we conclude Paul's first missionary journey, may I ask, what is your life ambition? What do you want to see when you grow old and are nearing the end of your life journey and you look back over your life? Finally, Luke closes his report with this statement. On arriving in Antioch, Barnabas and Paul gathered the Jesus followers together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples in Antioch. Acts 14:27 and 28. Oh, my dear friends, let's just spend the rest of today savoring this picture of Paul and Barnabas, finally back in Antioch, sitting with groups of the friends they'd left when they headed out many months before, telling story after story after story of God's provision for their daily needs, God's protection from great opposition, God's empowerment to keep going in times of discouragement, and God's mighty, mighty work of defeating the stronghold of Satan and starting churches in so many towns where Jesus had not yet been known. Now I found a song to help us celebrate this remarkable, amazing reality of the power of Jesus changing cities. It's more than a song, my friend. I urge you to watch the video as they worship and sing. Can you imagine the worship Paul, Barnabas, and these Antioch Christians had as they thanked God for all he had done in these cities for his great glory? I imagine amen was a word lifted up before God often. Oh, let's worship together, my friends, with this great song. Praise Jesus.